It is Mother's Day tomorrow, and I thought, meet in due season, I'll talk a little bit about Mother's Day. Your typical Mother's Day message is goes something like this. The role of a mother is selfless. She faces struggles without end, shoulders duty without thanks. They're basically saints that we don't deserve, and we must show our deepest gratitude for anyone in that role. So I could just sit down, but we're going to continue on with a little bit of a different take on it. Oxford Dictionary defines a mother as the female parent of a human being, a woman in relation to a child or children to whom she has given birth. I'm not going to conduct a survey today. The sample size is too small. But I'm pretty confident that the majority vote would say motherhood is a whole lot more than birthing a child and feeding it until it can feed itself. The title of this message is the same as the SBS. It's an excerpt from a poem written in 1865 by a gentleman named William Ross Wallace. Now, generally I have a rule that I try to live by. You never trust a man with two first names. This guy has three first names, so you know he's probably shady. But he did make a good point here. Thought he had an interesting thought. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. So today, I've got 3 points. We're going to talk about, dissect that statement a little bit. Point one, we're just going to discuss the importance of the role of the mother in the development of a child. Motherhood and fatherhood is a responsibility. It's a staggering responsibility. These are not our children, as much as they are God's children that we have been entrusted with by our God to love, to care for, and instruct for the purpose of adding him or her, the child, to God's family when that time comes. No one has more influence on the psychological development of a child in the first years of life than the mother. She is the baby's security, the baby's comforter, nurturer, and provider. A father can also be these, and certainly can support the mother in her role. But as it is true with love, with wisdom, with happiness, with money, and with a close and spiritual relationship with your Creator, you cannot give what you don't have. A mother must preach God's way to her children, but first she has to live it. Of less than 180 women that are named in the Bible, two of them are named solely for their spiritual example as mothers. And that is in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3 through 5. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, writes, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. The second point is the importance of the father helping his wife with the children. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 through 9, this is Solomon, of course, speaking, says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Solomon, the wisest king in all the world, knew that a mother's teaching is only part of the equation. A mother's teaching increases in value and gains depth and dimension when it is paired with the wisdom shared by a father. And although traits like empathy, concern, and compassion might come more easily to mothers, these are godly traits we should all be trying to emulate. My personal opinion is that it's been a staple of society's family structure and biblical as well. The role of the father is to be a protector, a provider, and a disciplinarian. while the mother cares for and nurtures the children and the home. But if you show me a mother that doesn't protect, provide for, and discipline the child while the father is at work, I will show you what is more than likely a dysfunctional family. Likewise, show me a father that doesn't make a concerted effort to help care for and nurture each child personally when he is home, and I will show you what is most likely a dysfunctional family as well. There is no my job, and there is no your job when it comes to raising kids. There is only the two of you and the task at hand. Granted, I have two very young kids, but I've been a kid my whole life, so I still have an opinion. This brings us to point three. Fathers and mothers need to be very careful about the hands that they let rock their cradle, their child's cradle. Yesterday, my wife and I had with her work, they had a deal with the rodeo. We went and went through the carnival. We had a meal, and then we saw some of the rodeo before we went home for the Sabbath. And it's been a little while since I went out to some sort of an event like that. And this is, I mean, a rodeo and carnival, that's these are family events. I was a little shocked at how much skin I saw. I'm not sure that I would have considered the whole thing wholesome. But what else is not so wholesome that we're encountering day in and day out? What's so wholesome about drag queen story hour, or the flagrant homosexuality in society? What's so wholesome about rebranding pedophiles as minor attracted persons? What's so wholesome about children being taken away from their parents because their parents won't authorize gender-affirming medical care? There's an ex-Olympic male athlete that was voted Times Woman of the Year. That's right. The same people that would nail you to the wall for saying, if you want it done right, don't ask a woman to do it, are also telling us that a man has out-womaned every woman on the face of the earth. You want to be the first, your daughter wants to be the first female four-star officer in a little-known division called the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps? Too late. A man has already done it. You want to be the best female swimmer in the world? You'll have to beat this man to get there. If the people that claim to have exonerated the modern woman from beneath the boot of a patriarchy have taught us anything, it's that men make all the best women these days, unfortunately. So we'll conclude with another work of literature by Sir Walter Scott, who I must note also has two first names, published in 1808 called Marmion. Marmion was a knight, and when he went out to war, he was always accompanied by a woman dressed as a page that would buckle on his armor. It is said that the buckling on of the knight's armor by this lady's hand was not just a mere caprice of romantic fashion. It is the type of an eternal truth that the soul's armor is never well set to the heart unless a woman's hand has braced it. And it is only when she braces it loosely that the honor of manhood fails. I know it might sound like I'm focusing a lot on a mother's responsibility of raising children. Parenting is, of course, a team effort. But this message is for the mothers. To the mothers, nobody is better suited to raise your children the way God intends than the woman God made their mother, if you let God show you how to do it. To the mothers, nobody is better suited to give your husband the input, help, and perspectives to be the father that God wants him to be than the woman that God gave him as a wife, if you let God show you how to do it. To the mothers, Satan yet holds the reins of this world, and as long as God allows Satan's reign to continue, Satan will try with all his might to pull them away from God. The duty belongs to you and the husband God gave you to be vigilant, to identify and remove Satan's influence from your children's lives. Raising children to be God-fearing adults is a very special task. That is why God gave your child a hand such as yours to rock that baby's cradle. In fact, maybe that's why they say, moms rock.